Charlie writes to a stranger because sometimes it's easier to tell your secrets to someone who can't see your face. His letters begin on August 25, 1991, just before starting high school, a freshman carrying invisible weights. His friend Michael committed suicide months earlier, leaving behind questions no one can answer. Teachers speak to Charlie differently now, as if grief might be contagious. Home isn't much better. His college-bound sister lives in her own world, his brother's away playing football, his mother cries too easily, and his father works constantly. And then there's the ghost of Aunt Helen, who died in a car accident on Charlie's 7th birthday. His favorite person, gone while getting his present. High school begins with the particular cruelty of watching former friends transform and forget you. When Susan returns with new braces and new popularity, she pretends not to see Charlie in the hallways. After defending himself against a bully, Charlie breaks down crying, cementing his reputation as different. But in his advanced English class, teacher Bill notices something in Charlie others miss. He assigns special books beyond the curriculum, creating a lifeline of words when people prove too complicated. Through these pages, Charlie finds companions who feel as deeply as he does, characters who make his loneliness less absolute. Have you ever watched a party from the corner, seeing everything while no one sees you? That's Charlie, until Patrick and Sam enter his life. Charlie approaches Patrick, known as Nothing, at a football game. Patrick introduces him to stepsister Sam, whose green eyes don't make a big deal about themselves. At Big Boy, they smoke and ask Charlie genuine questions, avoiding inside jokes, a kindness that feels enormous to someone always excluded. At Bob's party, Charlie accidentally eats a pot brownie, and his new friends respond with affection rather than mockery. He discovers Patrick kissing quarterback Brad, a secret he'll keep. Patrick calls Charlie a wallflower as recognition. You see things, keep quiet about them, and understand. The perfect metaphor occurs during their drive through Fort Pitt Tunnel. Sam stands in the pickup with Fleetwood Mac playing as lights streak past. Charlie feels infinite, that rare moment when observation and participation become one. Charlie's unrequited feelings for Sam anchor his emotional journey. After confessing an inappropriate dream, Sam responds with kind boundaries. Charlie later dates Mary Elizabeth, falling into a passive role where she dominates their interactions while he merely agrees. Their relationship implodes during Truth or Dare when Charlie kisses Sam instead of Mary Elizabeth, fracturing his friendships. Meanwhile, Charlie witnesses Patrick's secret relationship with Brad, the closeted quarterback. When Brad's father discovers them and beats his son, Brad publicly rejects Patrick with a slur, revealing how society forces some to deny their true selves. In a poignant moment, a heartbroken Patrick kisses Charlie, who allows it from compassion rather than attraction. These connections sustain Charlie during his eventual breakdown. His family visits regularly, Patrick maintains normalcy, Mary Elizabeth visits before college, and Bill arrives with his fiancée, all showing Charlie he isn't alone. Charlie's mind shields him from unbearable truths through dissociative episodes that previously led to hospitalization. His struggles intensify around holidays, particularly his birthday, which coincides with Aunt Helen's death in a car accident on December 24, 1983, his 7th birthday, while buying his present. He silently believes her death was his fault. As pressures mount, Charlie's coping deteriorates. After being ostracized, he buys marijuana from Bob and smokes constantly. At a New Year's party, he takes LSD, resulting in police finding him pale blue and asleep, making snow angels outside, followed by hospitalization. The novel's devastating revelation comes when Sam's intimate touch triggers repressed memories. His beloved Aunt Helen sexually abused him as a child. The mind compartmentalizes unbearable pain, manifesting trauma in seemingly unrelated behaviors. Charlie's healing begins when he realizes there's nobody to hate anymore and embraces a profound truth. While we can't choose where we come from, we can choose where we go from there. When the world doesn't make sense, books and songs can translate it for you. Charlie's English teacher, Bill, provides literary lifelines, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Catcher in the Rye, On the Road, that help Charlie articulate his complex inner landscape. In Holden Caulfield, Charlie finds a mirror reflecting his struggle for authenticity. Music becomes equally vital to Charlie's emotional vocabulary. His mixtapes express what he can't say directly. For Patrick's Secret Santa gift, Charlie creates One Winter with upbeat songs on one side and melancholic winter songs for when Patrick drives alone feeling sad. The novel's iconic turnel scene features Landslide playing as they drive through Fort Pitt Tunnel, the perfect soundtrack to Charlie's first experience of feeling truly alive. These cultural touchstones become Charlie's language when his own words fail. For isolated teenagers, books and music aren't entertainment, they're survival tools, proof that someone else has felt what you're feeling. Our families shape us in ways we only comprehend later in life. Charlie's family loves him but often misses his struggles, his mother's tears, his father's emotional distance, his siblings' varied reactions. At his grandmother's house, Charlie uncovers a pattern of generational trauma through his grandmother's abusive second husband, his aunt's harmful relationships, and his father's escape by leaving home. The cycle continues with Aunt Helen, molested as a child and disbelieved, which led to substance abuse and unhealthy relationships. Helen began rebuilding her life with Charlie's family until her fatal accident. The devastating revelation comes when Charlie remembers Helen sexually abused him, trauma passing from one generation to the next. Despite this dysfunction, Charlie's family demonstrates resilience. When his sister needs an abortion, Charlie supports her unconditionally. His parents respond appropriately upon learning about his abuse. The novel suggests that while we can't choose our origins, we can choose to break these cycles. Charlie's journey from observer to participant forms the novel's emotional backbone. His English teacher, Bill, asks, "Do you always think this much, Charlie?" highlighting his struggle between thinking about life versus living it. Charlie's insightful letters create a barrier between him and authentic experiences. Sam and Patrick become his bridge to participation, pulling him into dancing without self-consciousness, performing in Rocky Horror, and experimenting with substances. The novel's most profound moments come when Charlie fully commits, feeling infinite in the tunnel, defending Patrick in a fight, supporting his sister through her abortion, and confronting buried trauma in therapy. After his hospital release, his friends take him through the tunnel again. Charlie reflects on everyone who's told him he matters. The novel ends with Charlie really there, feeling infinite. He writes that he starts sophomore year without fear, and though he might be too busy participating to write more letters, things are good. And even when they're not, they will be soon enough, offering hope while acknowledging healing includes both progress and setbacks.